How do we talk to machines? Often with a degree of frustration. Alexa, do this. Siri, do that. No, don't do this. Please do that instead. It often isn't easy. Or rather, the talking might be easy, but getting the correct results rarely seems to be. So it is that natural language processing, or NLP, is one of the most important, fast-growing, and AI-essential technologies going today. To understand what that is and how it fits, we've invited researcher and computer scientist Shawali Goel to the show. She has worked for companies like Systran and Adobe and is currently back at Columbia University pursuing an MS in computer science focused on their NLP track. My name is Dirk Niemeyer, a social futurist interested in systems that will make the quality of our lives better. My partner is Jonathan Follett, a writer, composer, and emerging tech researcher. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 3 of Creative Next, a show about future-proofing creatives in a world of AI automation. Let's get started. How do we communicate with machines? Historically, we used our fingers and hands, pulling, pushing, flipping, typing, clicking, and swiping. It worked. It still works. It's not the most elegant or powerful way to communicate, but it still brings much of the world's information to us with a minimal amount of thought and effort. The problem is that it's not very smart. In fact, it's dumb. It requires the machine we are communicating with, machine in this case being the synthesis of the software you are using and the hardware devices you are using it on, to be particularly well-oriented to get you exactly what you want. Something like a favorite song you haven't heard in a while can require a carpal tunnel syndrome-inducing amount of swip, click, clack to get from the impulse to listen to the song to actually have it playing. This says nothing about the time it takes, which can potentially take not just seconds, but minutes, depending on your computing and network environment. This is one of the reasons why technologies like Alexa and Siri are so exciting. The user interface is flattened down, in the best case, to a single voice command. It will take just one or a few seconds, time during which your mind and body need not think about the request anymore. What used to be graphical user interface and the cumbersome management of architecture and hierarchy for the user is instead just verbalization of their desire. When it is right, it's magic. Of course, as I mentioned on the last episode, my own Alexa is unplugged and gathering dust on my desk, as just the latest example of inspiring promise turned frustrating reality. But dumping graphical user interfaces for voice-enabled artificial intelligence is, when done right, infinitely better. All of which brings us to natural language processing, NLP. Simply put, this is how computers process and analyze natural language data, particularly our speech. To get a primer in this, we are joined by Shawali Goel. Along with hands-on experience working on NLP-related problems in a corporate setting, she is back in school at prestigious Columbia University, pursuing a master's degree in computer science with an emphasis on NLP. Let's start by learning a little about Shawali's perspective.
My specialization is natural language processing. I see myself as a budding researcher in the domain of deep learning for NLP. I have previously worked as an intern at Adobe and at Systran's main research center in Paris. I also have a few publications in the same domain and wish to continue my research on machine translation and building task-agnostic models that overcome the challenges of feature selection in ML. I also wish to be a tutor for women in STEM and especially women pursuing careers in ML and AI.
Natural language processing is a pillar technology in how artificial intelligence communicates with and works for us. The near future of creative automation will, in many ways, be driven by NLP. Given the power and potential of each voice UI and AI, it is imperative that the machine's ability to interpret and then use natural language, particularly the spoken word, is effective. Let's hear more about how this all works from Shawali.
NLP is one of the core AI technologies. You can view it as a beautiful mix of linguistics and computer science. It is basically giving machines the capability to understand what a person means when he says or types something. NLP is about overcoming ambiguities in language and understanding the intent and context. For example, if I say, kids make nutritious snacks, what do you understand? Are the children cooking something nutritious, or that they themselves are a nutritious snack? So, NLP algorithms examine and utilize patterns in such data. They understand the word relations and the word play and simulate human-like conversations. So when you ask Google to play dance music, that's NLP. When you open a foreign web page and it gets translated to your language, that's NLP. And when your Wi-Fi is not working and you end up getting irritated trying to explain your problem to a virtual assistant or just shouting agent, agent on the phone, that's also NLP. And trust me, we are working hard to improve that. As a layman, if I were to ask a computer to do something for me, say years ago, I would have to first learn to code in a very structured programming language, then write my code, make sure that there weren't any spelling errors or that I wasn't missing a semicolon, and then get my output. But how do we interact with computers or say smartphones now? We just ask it to do the job in our own language. So NLP is allowing people to communicate with machines in human language. And as for communicating with people, chatbots and virtual assistants have already replaced a lot of human conversations, be it hotel reservations, complaint redressals, customer queries, and so much more.
Voice is our most natural input device. It is the primary way we communicate with other humans, and has been for thousands of years. NLP is the technology which translates our voice to best be used by the machine. At its theoretical apex, and assuming the machine doesn't have integrated vision or other input reading capabilities, NLP would interpret our words, cadence, intonation, and other factors to translate it into a nuanced understanding of our intention. Today, as Shawali points out, it often can't even figure out where to take us down a simple phone decision tree. Still, in its better incarnations, the technology seems to understand and respond like magic. One example is Google's Duplex service, which uses a human voice to make appointments for its owner. More than just a convenience, it is another technology that eerily blurs the distinction between real and fake. Speaking of real and fake, some of Shawali's current work is tackling exactly that problem.
One of the applications I'm currently working on is automatic rumor detection on social media. And my job is to build a system that can label the tweets as either being rumorous or as being true. And the reason why we are doing this is because these days people are free to write and share anything on the internet. And what happens is a lot of times fake news and fake rumors are spread. Although mostly they're harmless, but sometimes they're not. For example, rumors can adversely affect a brand image or shape opinions about a political candidate.
The idea is that the machine is able to interpret the validity of content by its language and then directly act or instruct another machine or person to act on it. This takes me back to the earlier days of the internet, when the Nigerian 419 email scams ran rampant. Once you were aware of it, then you could spot the scam very quickly. Of course, over time, these got more sophisticated. It is not always easy anymore to see if an email or voicemail or text message or website or letter is real or fake. Just as design has become more elegant, usable, and sophisticated, so too have the designs of those who use it for illegitimate purposes. I can certainly imagine how even rudimentary AI could spot the clumsier attempts. But what about better funded and more sophisticated fakes? I dare say that if you gave me a talented writer and designer, I could deploy oceans of fake content that I can't imagine how an AI could possibly discern. Maybe we'll learn and understand that better as this season of Creative Next continues. To deepen our own understanding, let's get even more granular about how NLP works.
NLP, under the hood, is basically math and statistics with elements of linguistics. So NLP, whatever algorithms that we are using are basically based on, for example, we use an algorithm called Viterbi algorithm for tagging, named entity recognition, and POS tagging. So, but essentially, it is also a mathematical model that what is the probability that the word has a specific part of speech tag, that what is the probability that the word the is a determiner, and what is the probability that a word would see a noun after it. NLP algorithms or NLP techniques are basically math. And what the linguistic side of it is that when we are calculating these probabilities and say for different words, we first lemmatize the words. We change their forms so that we are kind of reducing the vocabulary. For example, if there are words like production, produce, and like similar words which have the same stem, we use the linguistic techniques of lemmatizing and then stemming so that we have a subset of the words, and then use the probabilistic algorithms to solve NLP problems.
That makes sense. To help machines best interpret and use the data that is our language, it needs to be broken down and simplified. Lemmatization is the algorithmic process of determining the lemma, or canonical form, of a word based on its intended meaning. This is key to enable the machine to more correctly interpret intent and respond to language input in an effective way. Let's hear from Shawali about machine translation, or MT.
Machine translation is when computers translate text from one language to another, and Google Translate is one of the popular machine translation engines. Now, speaking more technically, earlier this was done using probabilistic MT systems, and then we came onto phrase-based systems, which broke the sentence into phrases and then translated each phrase and then rearranged them in the correct order. And now we are moving towards neural network-based MT systems. Machine translation is, you can say, an application of NLP. It comes under the umbrella of different applications of NLP. For example, under NLP, you can do tagging, you can do machine translation, you can do, say, word sense disambiguation. You can do a lot of things, like all which are a part of NLP. So machine translation can be seen as an application of NLP. Machine translation systems can help students learn a foreign language. Translators are not yet good enough to match humans or replace the teachers, but these systems can definitely supplement teaching. Also, a lot of online resources and ebooks can be translated to different languages so that more people can benefit from learning those. The world is a global village now, and communication is becoming easier and easier. But with advancements in machine translation and speech recognition, it is possible to translate as we talk. So instant voice translation is making language no longer a barrier, and the conversations look seamless. For example, I can talk to you in Hindi and you can hear the same content in English.
In season one, guest Leandro Agra reminded us of the Arthur C. Clarke quote that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. For me, this example certainly qualifies as magic. Can anything be more magical than instant voice translation? Suddenly, languages that seemed like they would eventually be obsolete as a consequence of the forward march of culturally dominant languages like English and Mandarin have a second life. Cultures don't need to leave their languages behind if machines can instantly convert them into the dominant universal forms. Let's hear more about how this particular form of magic is manifesting today.
I think Skype already has a Skype translator so that users speaking different languages can communicate with each other in real time. And I read this really interesting story about an English teacher in some small city in Japan. He said that since the city did not have many English speakers, so even the basic tasks like ordering food and communicating with work colleagues were cumbersome for him. And I think he used Skype Translator or some other similar app to interact with people, and he actually ended up making friends. Even though he didn't know the language, but he still made friends with them. And so I feel that in near future, there would be a lot of support for other languages, and such advancements in machine translation can be a lot of help to, say, tourists who are traveling and people who travel for work.
Making friends thanks to a digital translator. That's an example of technology impacting the old world, the real world, the analog world, in the best possible way. Last season, our theme was learning. It's a topic we're still curious about, and in asking Shawali about it, got into simplifying language from a different perspective.
If we leverage AI and NLP, that can only make the classroom smarter. NLP techniques like argumentation mining can be used to assess the quality of students' essays. So if we have automatic evaluation and grading, that can save a lot of teachers' time so that they can focus more on the content rather than the logistics. With NLP, it is also possible to develop personalized lesson plans and provide real-time feedback. One more way that NLP can help students is that it can help students with learning disabilities. Using these techniques, we can translate the sign language to text or voice. We can break complex sentences into smaller ones so that the students with such disabilities can comprehend it easily. As an example, one such tool that I remember reading about a while ago was IBM's Content Clarifier. So they were leveraging NLP techniques to help students with autism. They had developed this software, Content Clarifier. It was replacing the difficult vocabulary with much simpler words. It was breaking long sentences into smaller ones so that as a whole, a complex sentence was easier to read and grasp.
Disabilities drive technology to a remarkable degree. For example, while cyborgism remains relatively nascent, the most interesting cyborg advances to date are the result of overcoming disabilities. Simplifying language isn't just helpful for machines and autistics. For example, Nobel Prize-winning economist Daniel Kahneman is one luminary who advocates for simplifying language in order to improve life and society writ large. It's remarkable. Advances intended to make life better for autistics can potentially improve all of our well-being, as well as play a meaningful role in the ways we communicate with machines. What are some different applications of MT and NLP for us to be aware of?
I think machine translation finds its application in almost all verticals. We have MT for healthcare communication, in the military field, and translation for, again, foreign tourists. Machine translation is also used in translation of subtitles for television programs. One such interesting application is domain-specific machine translation. For example, if I am to translate financial documents, if I write something on Google, but it is from a financial document, it will have a specific style. It will be using a specific financial jargon, which the generic machine translation systems won't be able to translate those well. So what we do is we fine-tune the machine translation systems with such domain-specific data. For example, we'll provide the system with a lot of examples from the financial journals, and then we'll have a machine translation system that will be able to reproduce these documents and capture the domain-specific idiosyncrasies. Another interesting application of NLP can be in the health industry. For example, patients have access to their medical reports, but most of the times they cannot make any sense of it. So NLP tools can map the medical terms in report with their lay language counterparts and help improve the patient's understanding of their health information.
The financial and health industries are two of the very largest. So it is no surprise that technologies like MT and NLP are actively in use within them. While the innovations in financial are more about how to make the tools themselves work better, this health example is human-centric, addressing the very real problem of health information being inaccessible due to its design. While one might imagine that simply using better design would be a more efficient way of solving the same problem, it is just good that the problem is being addressed in some way, efficiency be damned. Looking a little farther into the future, what sort of advances does Shawali imagine?
I think there will be a lot of improvement in the existing interactive dialogue systems. Currently, even the best of such systems cannot converse for more than 4 to 5 minutes. And so in the future, I think new application will make them able to talk for more time and make those conversations sound more natural. For example, they will better detect humor or sarcasm in speech and mimic the human conversations better. And putting on my imagination hat, for example, say we have a new NLP tool and let's call it artistic style transfer. So what this tool could do is take in the history of conversation between two people, change the style of text. For example, if I'm writing something informally, if I generally write something informally, but with this person, I have a more formal relationship. So then my tool can just keep the content same and change the style of my writing from informal to a more formal one. Many other things, many such new applications can develop in the near future.
Style swapping is one of the nearest term ways that AI automation will impact creative work, context shifting content automagically for us. Not only in writing, as with Shawali's example, but art, music, and more. This will be an ongoing current in every future season of our show. One of the enablers of this era of AI progress is the availability of incredible amounts of data. Data is the food which AI feasts on, the raw material it uses to learn. However, data can also be an impediment instead of an enabler. Sometimes this is because the sheer processing power to deal with the data is not available. Other times, the data itself is sparse. Big companies like Facebook are trying to address this in different ways, one example of which Shawali shares.
Very recently, Facebook published a paper in EMNLP. It has been gaining a lot of attention. I think Forbes also mentioned about it in its blog. So it was about unsupervised machine translation. What I mean by unsupervised is that earlier we used to have a large amount of parallel sentences. That is, we used to have a sentence in a source language and its corresponding translation in the target language. And we used to have like a lot of such pairs to train and build our machine translation system. In order to build a nice system that gives you good translations, we needed huge amounts of data. But for low resource languages, such data isn't always available. So Facebook, what this paper did was it proposed a method to build a good quality machine translation system for languages without the need of like huge amounts of training data or such pair of sentences. What I feel is in the next 10 years, if this is possible, if the Skype translator today is providing support for 10 languages, this technique can be used to add support for many more languages and even regional languages. There's a lot of advancements in the technology. So researchers are moving towards contextualized representations of words like Elmo rather than static representations. So leveraging these new research outcomes, the next decade should actually see a lot of interesting applications in MT and NLP in general.
These efforts bear similarities to how advancements related to overcoming disabilities end up fueling tech with broader impact and implications. Needing to adapt modern approaches to AI to be effective in contexts with limited data, it both addresses real user needs and expands the toolkit. Of course, we also need to remember that all of these things are still early days. Mistakes and unintended consequences are the norm more often than seamless, powerful systems that look and feel like magic. Shawali wraps up by sharing an example of this, finely punctuated by her characteristic optimism.
From a student perspective, it's a really vast research field because there is so much improvement yet to be done in this field because most of the translators are not really good. A while ago, that a person got arrested in Iraq because his Facebook translated his good morning to attack them. So I mean, like, and then later Facebook apologized or something, but you see the scope of improvement that is there in this field. Even the lowest resource languages, the papers are there, but they're not up to the mark. So as a student researching in this field, I feel that there's a lot of potential to grow and there are a lot of opportunities to actually explore what's happening and what we can do next and what we can build.
Thanks again to our guest, Shawali Goel. So, John, how did our interview with Shawali impact your thinking about the work we are doing with Creative Next?
So one of the things that she mentioned that gave me some food for thought was just a sort of a more comprehensive definition around natural language processing, and I'll explain why. So we're very familiar at our design studio with NLP because we work with software systems that leverage that technology. However, it's NLP that's very narrowly purposed for healthcare. And in my understanding of it, it never occurred to me that narrow was sort of the operating term there. And why is that important? Well, we're talking about NLP overcoming ambiguities in language, right? And, you know, understanding intent and, you know, context. So right there, if you don't have a narrow application, NLP has, you know, a really massive task in front of it. And when you break it down by industry, you can see how, like, okay, there's, in the context of this industry, when you're analyzing language, you can attach certain meaning to it. But sort of in a broad sense, and this is true of AI generally speaking, that the more generalized it gets, the harder the problem set is. Mm-hmm. So the narrow applications are, you know, knocking it out of the park. But when we're talking about ambiguities in language, sometimes they're purposely ambiguous. Like, can you imagine NLP applied to politics and diplomacy? Like, ambiguity is there because you don't want to attach a specific meaning to a word. You want it to mean multiple things to multiple people and for it not to be explicit. So I just thought that was an interesting further understanding sort of the lengths we'll need to go in order to make AI and NLP really work for people, because we're seeing these sort of magical instantiations of AI, and it makes us think we're farther ahead than we are.
I like your analysis there. Yeah, for me, it's just getting deep in NLP is a good thing. It's something at sort of a strategic level I have awareness of, but at a practical level I was pretty ignorant of. So just deep diving into NLP in general here was terrific for me, and it's definitely making sort of more rich, you know, the things that I'm thinking about with regards to this project. So what did Shawali say that was the biggest surprise or new kernel of knowledge for you?
So I was really intrigued by her mention of the rumor detection on social media. You could probably just label it, all of it, rumor, and then just be done with it. But, you know, more seriously, there's a need for it, right? And this sparked with me this thought that if you have bots creating rumors around news or fake news, and bots detecting rumors created by, you know, the propaganda bots, we're essentially in a lot of aspects, in a lot of areas of AI, we're setting up our future to be a battle of the bots. We're setting up, I mean, this is true in a number of, you know, sort of machine learning techniques as well.
It's even true in war, right? I mean, we're guiding our little drones, our bots, from machines are doing it, or people back in a bunker are doing it, right?
Yeah, it struck me that we're creating adversarial technologies. We're creating technologies to fight with each other, which is disconcerting if you think about, like, what are our motivations for creating technology to fight each other? But that's for another discussion, I think.
Yeah, you know, for me, I just wasn't aware that instant voice translation devices were a real thing at a consumer level. I knew they were happening in labs and companies doing things around the technology, but I didn't realize I could go out and buy a device like that today. You know, researching it after Shawali talked about it, I definitely feel like it falls short of magic. The devices aren't great. You aren't on Amazon reading that people are saying, oh my gosh, this is magic. You know, the seams are certainly showing. But the gap isn't that significant either. So it's relatively close to being done well, and that's freaking amazing. It's remarkable the technology that we've lived through and continues to advance, at least from my perspective.
Yeah, when the seams show, it always takes a little bit of the magic out of it for me. Just, I mean, knowing how we got there with certain technologies, it seems less amazing. If you went out and bought that device, I'm sure you would have it turned off on your desk next to Alexa. The two would be friends.
You're right about that. Yeah.
Because the user experience for these things is going to be questionable for a long time. And the people who are early adopters are going to be the guinea pigs. And usually I'm happy to be that guinea
pig. You do
pig.
Like to be a guinea pig with that stuff. That's true. So, John, what did you learn from Shawali that has influenced your life and how you're living today?
There is a theme of, or idea of style swapping, which I thought was a really interesting way to reuse ideas in different contexts. And because I'm really interested in reusing content in various contexts, it framed for me iterative creativity that, I mean, I know the style swapping was in an AI context, but for me, it gave me another sort of resource to think about, you know, like, hey, we've, you know, tried this idea in this way. How can we reuse this idea in a different context and pursue it that way? So that was really an invigorating thought for me. And I want to try to apply it to, you know, you can apply it to writing, to music, all of those things that that you mentioned.
Yeah, Shawali kind of took me back to thinking a lot about government access to and use of data. You know, the anecdote she had at the end about the Iraqi person's benign greeting being interpreted as a violent command, that's super scary. The intersection between organizations like militaries and security agencies with AI and technology creates so many unintended consequences, and especially at this moment with, you know, the heightened concern about things like terrorism, things like school shootings. It's complicated and naughty stuff. It's stuff that I already am concerned about and care about, but her example is just sort of the absolute worst case scenario, right, of this technology gone wrong, where you're normally living your life. And I don't think this was the case in the example, but, you know, then the helicopters swoop in and you're going off to a black room. It's frightening how the size and scale and potency of and ubiquity of governments today intersect with these technologies.
Yeah, that's it's been revealed, you know, most recently how much of our communication data is just processed and parsed by sort of large institutions, and we have just no idea. It's, I think, probably healthy not to be paranoid about it, but it's all too easy to fall into that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that lack of vigilance is healthy or not. Maybe for our day-to-day mental health, trying to be normal analog people, certainly. So each episode, we finish up with a thing to think about, one question germane to what's been covered on the show today. This episode's thing to think about is, in a world of natural language processing, what are some magical new applications you can imagine? Think about that for yourself and feel free to tweet at us about it at GoCreativeNext. Creative Next is a proud member of Civil, a community-owned platform for independent journalism. Learn more at civil.co, that's civil.co. We are sponsored by GoInvo, a design practice dedicated to innovation in healthcare, whose clients are as varied as AstraZeneca, 3M Health Information Services, and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Learn more at goinvo.com. We're also sponsored by Design Museum Foundation. A new kind of museum, they believe design can change the world. They're online, nomadic, and focused on making design accessible to everyone. Their mission? Bring the transformative power of design everywhere. You can learn about their exhibitions, events, magazine, and more at designmuseumfoundation.org. Our final sponsor is BIF. As a purpose-driven firm, BIF is committed to bringing design strategy where it is needed most: healthcare, education, and public service, to create value for our most vulnerable populations. To learn more and connect, visit them at biff.is. That's biff.is. Please subscribe to Creative Next on Apple Podcasts. You can also find us at Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. You can get in touch with us at the Creative Next website, creativenext.org, or follow us on Twitter, @GoCreativeNext. On Medium, we are partnered with Towards Data Science, where we publish articles to extend and build upon these episodes. Check out all that Towards Data Science has to offer at towardsdatascience.com. I'm Dirk Niemeyer, whom you can reach at D. Niemeyer, and my partner in crime is Jonathan Follett, who is at John Follett. If you want to get in touch with Shawali Goel, do so on LinkedIn. Just search for her name, Shawali Goel. Tweet to us with questions, comments, topics, guest suggestions, and include the hashtag CreativeNext. And the home base for everything we do is at creativenext.org. We recommend you sign up for our low-volume newsletter there. That's it for Creative Next Season 2, Episode 3, but here's a clip of what you can expect to hear next time. We'll see you then.
The creativity and expertise of AI-based generation systems would enable amateur writers to express themselves in an interesting and professional manner. So essentially, everybody could be a writer.